Hey y'all,
this is Angelina
and this is Jennifer
and you're listening to the Student Hacks Podcast.
Before we start our episode today, we would like to acknowledge the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation as the traditional custodians of the country we're meeting on today.
And we would like to pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging.
In this episode, we have a very special guest joining us in the studio who will talk to us about Gen AI and the use of Gen AI in our academic lives here at UTS.
We'll chat about the surgence of AI in 2023, the pros and cons of using Gen AI in our studies, and how to maintain academic integrity when using tools like ChatGPT.
But first, what is Gen AI?
That's a really good question, and we've asked students online and on campus, and we found out a lot of people like us were curious about what Gen AI is.
I know. How about we ask ChatGPT?
That's a great idea.
Gen AI is a term that could refer to generative artificial intelligence. It's a technology that involves using computer programs to create things like text, images, or even music. These programs are trained on lots of data, so they can generate new content that looks like something a human might create. Think of it as a really advanced computer tool that can come up with things based on patterns it learned from existing examples. It's used for tasks like writing articles, creating art, composing music, and more.
Okay, awesome. Okay, we can't forget to thank it.
Okay. Thank you. But how do we use Gen AI in respect to academia and our careers?
I'm so glad you asked that. We've got just the right person to answer that question.
Before we get started, could you please introduce yourself to our listeners and viewers?
Yes, I'd be delighted to. My name's Kylie Reedman. I'm the Deputy Vice-Chancellor, Education and Students here at UTS, which means I've got broad strategic responsibility for all things that happen that relate to students and their education.
Amazing. Thank you so much again for joining us in the studio and for taking the time out of your day to chat with us about ChatGPT and all these other Gen AI tools that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, we're so excited to talk about Gen AI.
It's very much the topic of the moment.
Yeah. It is. And in saying that, we were talking earlier and we were actually really curious to hear your thoughts about this, but what do you think about this quite intense surgence of AI discourse, especially in the recent months? We would say maybe this year.
And how would you say the emergence of Gen AI software is changing or not changing the academic student experience?
Yep, great question. So important to dive into that, as you say. So I think what we've seen over the past, really the past 6 months, because last year people weren't really talking about this. Yeah. So the tool ChatGPT that was released by OpenAI at the end of last year has really got a lot of people interested and focused because it's a large language model and it's something that we can interact with really easily, whereas previous AI tools have been more difficult to engage with. AI is all around us all the time. We use it in when we don't even know that we use it. You know, if you think about Siri on your Apple iPhone or something like that's utilizing that, chatbots in on all of the web pages that you might interact with. Some are good quality and some are not so good quality. But the benefit of ChatGPT and other tools that are now starting to emerge like it is that you can have more of a conversation with it. It's learning what you're looking for as you ask it more questions and put in more information on a particular topic. So in that way, it's got both benefits and risks for students, I think. It can help you study more effectively. It can help you get more information really quickly from a source, not always a trusted source. So that's my in the other part of it, I guess. The risks are, I guess, that it's very attractive to use in ways that maybe wouldn't be seen as appropriate in terms of academic integrity and things like that, because the university has to make sure that the students' work is genuinely the students, and that cuts all aspects of academic integrity.
I think navigating assignments and assessments and academic integrity with the potential use of Gen AI becomes sort of a grey area because I have certain subjects that encourage the use of Gen AI platforms like ChatGPT for research purposes, whereas other subjects are advising completely against it. So what would your advice or the university's advice be?
Yep, so the advice that we're giving, because different
courses or different subjects with different assessment types will have different parameters, like sometimes you have to reference and sometimes you don't have to reference, depending on the type of writing that it is. Sometimes it's appropriate to collaborate in a group. Sometimes you have to do it individually. Yeah. So I would see these rules as that are task-specific mm-hmm. as being just an extension of the kinds of rules and requirements that we would utilise for other things. Two big sources of information would be the Canvas page for the subject. So go and have a look at the information that's there. And ask your academics. So we've been asking academics to advise students on the effective ethical use. And if they don't want students to use it for particular tasks, to state that really clearly. Mm-hmm. But we also know that using it has lots of different meanings. Using it, mm-hmm. quoting from it, that might require a reference, and there's information on the library page about how to do that.
Yeah.
But using it as background study, like you might utilise a range of other tools, Google, Wikipedia, all the kinds of things that when they first came out, academics were saying, don't use those. We've now integrated those into the way that we utilise things. I wouldn't encourage people to quote from Wikipedia or quote from a Google search without going to the primary source. Mm-hmm. This is slightly different because what it's doing in the background is grouping together primary sources yeah. and utilising frequency to create a summary. So one of the things that you have to do if you're using ChatGPT, even for research and even for background information, is to be aware of things like currency, accuracy, quality, inherent biases. So there are things about it that are not great. For example, if you were asking it to generate a list of sources for a bibliography, for example, it will create those things and they will look legitimate, but they will maybe not be.
Yeah.
So I would encourage people to not do that because mm-hmm. it doesn't make sense to do that. Because if you think about the purpose of a bibliography, it's to acknowledge the original sources that have informed your thinking mm-hmm. and your response. Mm-hmm. Therefore, asking a third party, an AI, to generate those would indicate to an academic that you haven't done the work. So some academics are really excited about the opportunities for learning and they want students to explore it. I think that's the right place to be.
Yeah.
But students also need to know that at the moment, while we're exploring an enterprise license and looking at what's going to come next, because it's still an open source tool, we can't make students sign up for it.
Mm. Mm.
So that's an important thing to remember. On the other side, I think that the integration of it into learning, so looking ahead, and one of the things I've been so pleased about is that students and staff here are saying, we can see this is going to just be a normal part of our future. Gen AI tools of all kinds are going to be integrated into the world of work. So we really need to think about how our students use them, how we teach them to use them ethically and effectively. So that's kind of the tagline that we've been applying to this. How can you use it ethically and effectively to get your work done and enhance the quality of your learning and ultimately your success?
I love that UTS is adopting Gen AI rather than completely rejecting it or shying away. I wonder what your opinions are regarding how it might change our education system.
One of the things that I'm really have been thinking about a lot is the way that previously we've utilised tasks and products that students have created as a way of gauging the quality of their learning. What you can't outsource, even if you can outsource the creation of products, and remember that students have been able to do that for quite a long time, mm-hmm. and those things fall into academic misconduct. They're not okay to mm-hmm. do. To outsource your own learning, in evidence of your learning in any way is not appropriate, whether you get your mum to write it for you or your partner or, you know, you use ChatGPT, you're contracted out and pay someone to do it. All of those things are not okay because it means that you're not doing the learning. Mm. And the great opportunity, I think, is learning is embodied, like sleeping, like eating, like exercising. You won't get the benefit unless you do the work.
Mm.
And so you can sign up to a gym, but if you never go to the gym, you're not going to get the benefit. And in the same, this is kind of the same. You can outsource the creation of tasks. But not only will you probably get caught, but you won't do the learning.
Yeah.
And one of the things I think UTS prides itself on is the quality of our graduates and their ability to move into work of whatever kind they're qualified for in a really well-prepared and positive way. And I think if we were to lose that because we didn't understand how important the actual embodied learning was, that would be a real negative for the university, but also for all of our graduates, because it brings their quality into question, and we absolutely cannot have that.
So I was curious, does UTS or is UTS taking any measures to adjust to students using Gen AI in their studies?
Yep. So over the first semester, we really took a watch, listen, learn kind of approach. So we were supporting academics with the immediate information that they needed while we understood it. Over the semester break, what we've done is taken a deep dive into looking at which assessment task types are more vulnerable to being recreated using AI. Mm-hmm. So what we want to do through our assessment design is encourage people to engage in authentic assessment, which mm-hmm. reflects real life and which only they, as the person who is doing the learning, is likely to be able to produce. So what we're looking for is higher order thinking skills, application of skills into practice and knowledge into practice. So it's not just a generic case study or a generic essay question that potentially could be outsourced. And remembering that most students do still do the right thing because they do value their learning. So even though we're talking about this, it's not widespread. And the evidence is showing us that students are asking the same questions that you're asking. How can I do the right thing? Yeah. So that's really important to remember. But I think when we think about what is the process here, so supporting academic staff to create good assessment that is really aligned to the workplace and the future of careers of students, mm-hmm. that we're investigating a range of detection options. But we think AI is going to be so integrated into the world very quickly, and we're seeing that even after 6 months, that focusing on detection, even though it's there and it's in our policy and it's in our rules and we can sort of work with students who we suspect may have gone through that process, that's not our focus. Our focus is on helping people to use it in ways that support their learning and that is ethical. So that's where the conversation is sitting and sitting with academics as well. Two other things that we're doing is taking a course level view, so looking at all of the assessment, not just each subject's assessment or each individual task, mm-hmm. and saying where are the times that we might verify a student's identity, either by having something, an assessment task that's observable in practice, mm-hmm. or by following their process of development over the period of study. And how do we triangulate the types of assessment that we have? So that's the second strategy. So if everything you produced for a subject or for a whole course was a written essay or an exam, yeah. or you're just doing the same thing over and over, not only is that not a valid measure or a reliable measure, but it doesn't tell the academic or the academic team much about how you can apply what you know in a range of different ways. And that's actually really important to achieving the learning outcomes of the course. So we're really supporting academic staff to make good choices as well to then support students' learning.
Yeah, I think it's going to revolutionize the way that we're learning and focus more on reflection-based assignments where you can integrate your knowledge. And so it's what you've learned rather than looking through a bunch of articles and trying to synthesize what other people have mentioned.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Really exciting.
Yep, yeah. Yep. And I think those skills around evaluation, application, and going beyond things like description or listing or just, yeah, as you say, bringing together disparate pieces of knowledge, yeah. and, you know, sort of spitting them back out. We're actually asking for much higher level, which actually I think is more beneficial for learning.
That's exciting.
It's going to engage your critical thinking abilities.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that even the introduction of Gen AI on a range of different levels has engaged our critical thinking. Like, what is it? Should we be scared and running in the opposite direction? We've decided no, we're actually going to embrace it. We're going to understand it. We know that companies like Microsoft are trialing and testing and will shortly, we don't know how shortly, release a tool called Copilot, which will have AI integrated into the Microsoft Office suite. So Office 365 will have those kind of personal tutor slash tricks and tips and integration into email, into Word, into Excel. So that's what I mean by you can't run away from it. It's happening. Mm. And as students graduate, they'll be expected to work with it.
Yep.
And we've been engaging a lot with our industry advisory boards as well, saying, how are you using it? And they're in the same position as us. Mm. Some of them are like, well, we're trying to figure it out. And others have said, we've seen this application and we think this is what's going to happen and this will change the way that our employees work. And mostly what we're seeing is that some kind of low-level repetitive tasks might actually be replacing. So the AI might replace the worker. But in many cases, then the worker is freed to do more value-add work, work that is human-centered, that can't actually be replicated by a computer or an AI tool. So for me, that's the great opportunity, is that the work that we do as human beings, and people talk about human-centered design or human in the loop and all of those kinds of things, it's really about saying, well, where do I, as a graduate or as an employee, add the most value?
Yeah.
And how can my work not be replicated by a computer?
Yeah. Mm.
We asked many students through Instagram polls, social media polls, and on a whiteboard in Building 2 about questions and queries that they had regarding Gen AI. And a lot of the questions surrounded workplace and is my job going to be taken by AI or is this industry even going to exist? So I think that kind of lightens up the mood regarding Gen AI and AI integration into society.
I think in all technology innovations, if you sort of look backwards, what we see mostly is that the jobs evolve.
Yeah.
So rather than a job being removed, and sometimes that does happen, absolutely, but if you think about jobs that are human-centered, what it means is that the lower-level activities or aspects that are repeatable, that don't require a human, can be outsourced. That, and if I think about my own career as a teacher over time, so that was my first job, my first degree trained me for being a teacher when I started in the early 1990s, I think, to now is vastly different because of the impact of technology on learning and our ability to use data to inform a more personalised and heightened student experience and things like that. I think teachers today would argue that there's other kinds of administration have replaced the kinds that used to take up time, so that's probably not a great outcome.
Yeah.
But certainly in terms of integrating technology, accepting tools like, you know, physical tools like computers into the classroom, phones into the classroom, you know, even things like podcasts that didn't exist that now make things more accessible for students are beneficial, but you have to learn to use them. And I would say that across every field, you've got to learn to use the tools. And, you know, if accountants were still using an abacus, you know, we laugh at that. So this is just another evolution in those tools.
Yeah, I really like how you framed it, actually, that Gen AI can be something that supercharges and elevates our human qualities and basically helps us improve all these higher order skills that UTS actually tries to teach students. So it's really great to hear that and quite comforting, I would say. So Kylie, do you have any final pieces of advice to share with our listeners?
I think if there's any advice that I can offer to students, it's to be really proactive. So if you're worried about things like being on the wrong side of academic misconduct, ask the question.
Yep.
Seek support. There's a range of people, you know, in the library and in helps and in your subjects that will have those answers for you and be able to guide you. And, I mean, of course, all of the things that normally help you be successful in study and assessment still apply.
Yeah.
You know, be prepared. Don't leave it to the last minute. Make sure you've done the research that you need to get ready and that you, as I've said, ask the right questions of the right people. I want to particularly call out the supporting study page that students can access. There's a LibGuide through the library that talks specifically about generative AI. If you Google pages on academic integrity, you'll get a whole bunch of information that's UTS specific as well and will guide you. So there's lots of resources out there. They're not difficult to find. But in some ways, I'd say there's so much noise in the broader, techosphere that it can be a bit overwhelming. So if you're feeling a bit overwhelmed by it all, I'd say look at the UTS specific information, yeah, because that is where the university has framed it, and that key message around effective ethical engagement is going to be key to this, to resolving this from an academic integrity point of view.
Yeah, I was quite daunted by this whole surgence of AI, but I guess looking at the UTS specific guidelines and how to use Gen AI, it's going to ease my mind and how I can use it, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. And it's great. It's all synthesized for us in resources by UTS. So that's always great to hear.
Yeah, we wanted to make it really easy for people to know where we stood, because that was a lot of the questions that were coming through. And then the road ahead of how we're going to use it is going to keep changing. Yeah. So I'd say just because you've dipped into that information once doesn't mean that you shouldn't dip into it again each semester, just to make sure that things haven't changed, or if they have, that you're aware of them, because we're learning more as an academic team and as a university every day, yeah, as new information comes forward. And I think as a learning organisation in the truest sense, it is exciting, I think, and that I think working together and working in partnership with students, which we've been doing all the way along as well, really puts us in a good position.
Yeah. Mm. Really excited to see what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
But thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you so much for this information. It's so interesting. It's such an interesting topic.
Yeah,
but thank you so much for your time as well.
No, that's okay. That's good. Thank you.
We wanted to thank Kylie again for joining us at the studio.
Yeah, Gen AI was such an abstract idea, but the way that Kylie explained it, I feel like I get it.
Yeah, to hear talk about the realities of Gen AI integration into the workforce and into university, it just makes a lot more sense to me now that I can see how it's actually happening and how it's actually going to come to fruition.
Yeah, and it's a lot less bleak. Yeah, imagine not using Google for your research. Yeah. That was a recent integration into the academia kind of sphere. I could not use Google.
Exactly. We've never had to go without it.
But I guess we'll just go into the semester a little bit knowledgeable, but willing to learn more about Gen AI.
Exactly. And if we're ever confused, we know that UTS has their own resources ready for us to look into and reference if we're ever lost about what to do with Gen AI. And we have the link in the description for anyone who's curious and wants to check that out. But otherwise, also making sure that we're always checking with our coordinators.
Exactly. Like, don't be afraid to ask questions. Well, I guess we'll see you in the next episode. For now,
love ya.
Bye.
Okay, we'll do the love your mind.